Thank you, Vida, for playing tonight, this morning, this evening. It's nice always to hear you play. I said this morning that I work all night, so this is my morning time when I get up and I work all night and get off at 7 in the morning. So it is a pleasure to be here this evening. In the dictionary, faith is the allegiance to a person of God or a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is a moving cause for everything that we do. We are dependent on our faith for acquisition of all knowledge, wisdom, and intelligence. Would any of us exert ourselves to obtain knowledge and wisdom if we did not believe that there could obtain these things? Would we have ever sown if we did not believe we would reap? All of our exertions of every kind is dependent on our faith. Our food, where we stay, are dependent on our faith, getting paid from our employers. As our faith in temporal things, so is it in our spiritual lives also. It is easier to have faith in our temporal lives than for our spiritual lives. That's something that we learn and strive for, to be in tune with our spiritual lives. In Second Nephi chapter 6, starting with 48. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, for they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has spoken it. By this we see that the repentance and baptism and a perfect faith are all necessary to be saved in the kingdom of God. Faith is a power behind miracles. Jumping back to Mosiah, the 11th chapter of Mosiah, starting with 167. And again the angel said, Behold, the Lord hath heard the prayers of his people, and also the prayers of his servant, Alma, who is thy father. For he has prayed with much faith concerning thee, and thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, for this purpose have I come to convince thee of the power and authority of God, that the prayers of his servants might be answered according to their faith. So we got to have faith in order to receive answers to our prayers also. Many miracles are obtained and the knowledge of the truth are given through the faith in God. Besides the people, Alma was also praying faithfully. Back in Moroni, I love the Book of Mormon because I think it speaks to people of this country. Since it was came about from the people of this country, I think it holds a special place, at least for me, to know what's coming in this country. Back in Moroni, chapter 10, starting with verse 5. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart and real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you for the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things. And whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And he may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today and tomorrow and forever. If we ask with a sincere heart, I feel that as a childlike heart, when we can realize our own limitations, that is when we can receive help from the outside ourselves. Life is too complex and unpredictable to face with our own feeble powers. It is through our faith that God will help us through life's trials, that these trials seem to go from monumental to just another day. A peace that helps us deal with everyday problems that before our faith in God, it caused many health problems in our lives. And with our faith, many answers come from places we never thought possible. The average person believes that religion has some sources of power to help them in their everyday problems, but they don't know how to receive this power. Everything troubling you can be eliminated. Every weakness, every unhappiness can disappear. Your life can be strong and effective. Anyone's life can be completely changed, that every crippling thing which interferes with his well-being can be eliminated or effectively controlled. It is from the power of faith that these things can be. Now, I'm not saying that you will be cheery, cured of all things, but you will have the peace of heart that you need down deep. The next question that I always had was, well, how do we gain in faith? Well, from 16th chapter of Alma, verses 143, and now, as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if ye have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true. And jumping down to 152, now we will compare the word unto a seed. If ye give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, it is a true seed or a good seed, if ye did not cast it out by your unbelief. That ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, ye will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul, and it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. Some people go out and plant seeds all over the place, but you got to nourish those seeds too. And then going over to 169. And there it is, ye shall not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof. Ye can never pluck the fruit of the tree of life. But if ye have nourished the word, yea, nourished the tree as it beginneth to grow, your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith, and your patience with the word, in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is the most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet. and which is white above all that is white, and yea, pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon the fruit, even until ye are filled, and the hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth the fruit unto you. And I wanted to, one of my favorite scriptures in the Book of Mormon is from the 14th chapter of Alma, starting with 103. Yea, he that repenteth and exerciseth faith and bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually without ceasing, unto such it is given to know the mysteries of God, yea, unto such it shall be given to reveal things which have never been revealed. Yea, it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls to repentance, even as has been given unto us to bring these our brethren to repentance. Faith is a mighty thing that you can put in your life, and you have to exercise it in order to build it, just like a bodybuilder will exercise his muscles, and his muscles will gain in strength, and he'll be able to lift more and more and more weight. We have to exercise our faith also. The practice of faithfully praying and devotional meditation, and to surrender your life in an attitude of childlike trust to the will of God. 10 minutes a day, each and every day, spent in prayer will make the rest of the day different. Multiply this for a month, that would be 280 minutes a month, and just in February alone, or 4 hours and 40 minutes, if you combine that all together. Multiply this for a year, and that's 3,650 minutes, or almost 61 hours a year spent with the Lord. After the first month, you'll probably catch yourself asking direction throughout the day. The Lord will greatly bless you because of the effort you have taken to spend time with Him. Some people will say, my life is so busy that I can't possibly commit myself to any more. This is just another excuse. Spending time in prayer, your thoughts are cleared. And while praying for others, you will realize that the problems you have in your life are probably not as bad as the people who are around on the prayer list. And it states that in the scriptures I just read. The fruit may be in an inner peace because you know the Lord is with you. You may receive an answer through your prayer or through other people that you come in contact with. There's a time at work, somebody came up to me. I was praying about something, and this guy came up to me, and he gave me an answer to the prayer. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, why is the Lord using him for this? And I asked him about it later. I said, what made you say that? He said, I didn't say that. So I know I heard it from this guy, and I know it was answered to my prayer, and maybe I wasn't listening for the Lord, and I was waiting for something else to happen there. So you got to be mindful of things going on around you, because the Lord does work in mysterious ways. When we put our faith in the Lord, we have to trust that the Lord will hear and answer our prayers. It may not be in the time frame or exactly how we would have it, but your prayers will be answered in a way that the Lord knows what is best for you. There's another time, one of the people I went to church with, and he said he was praying for something for a long time, and he finally got an answer. And you know, he said, Lord, why did it take a year and a half for me to receive this? He said, if I would have told you back then, you would not understand. I had to teach you this first, and then this, and this. So sometimes the Lord knows what's best for us in a way that we can understand. And that's what he tries to do for us. We shouldn't get discouraged if we don't have things happen right exactly. Faith is a gift from God. The 26th chapter of Alma, verses 131. Therefore, we did pour out our souls in prayer in God, that He would strengthen us and deliver us out of the hands of our enemies, yea, and also give us strength, that we might retain our cities and our lands and our possessions for the support of our people. Yes, it came to pass that the Lord our God did visit us with assurance that He would deliver us, yea, insomuch that He did speak peace to our souls, and did grant unto us great faith, and did cause us that we should hope for deliverance in Him. If the Lord can give them the faith to overcome the enemies that come against them, then we need to ask the Lord that our faith may grow also. Back again in Hebrews 11, jumping down to 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. By Noah's faith in God, by preparing an ark, he gathered the animals into it. Noah became an heir to righteousness. Does righteousness come before faith, or faith before righteousness? I believe they go hand in hand. As you gain in faith, you also gain in righteousness. If you don't gain in righteousness, your faith will probably fade and then disappear and go and sin no more. Need to get rid of the things in your life that is keeping you away from God. And sometimes that's hard to do. I try and pray that I might see the things that are keeping me from Him, and slowly and surely he'll show me things. Sometimes it's not everything at once, but little by little, and by my faith, I hope I've grown here in the last 10-15 years. By faith, Lehi and Nephi, being warned of God by things not yet seen, moved with fear, left behind a civilization which had become corrupt and sailed to a new land. By faith, Columbus sailed westward, coming to a new land. By faith, the pilgrims left their homes, seeking and finding freedom to worship God. By faith, Washington endured as seeing the invisible, while the founding fathers fashioned a constitution for free men. By faith, Jefferson secured by purchase land, the Louisiana Purchase. Although this land was then regarded as useless and inaccessible. By faith, Lincoln preserved the Union, freed the slaves, and pointed the way toward a wider and truer brotherhood. A lot of our founding fathers had great faith in God, and I believe that we're become a strong nation because of it. In the long run, what any man or nation is to become depends on what that man or nation believes about things eternal. Are we just living for today? Faith in God is genuinely related to hope and to goodness. No one can have hope or faith in evil. You just can't do that. The worst enemy of a strong faith is a comfortable or self-satisfied faith. And at times this enemy will overcome us all. Anyone who is spiritually satisfied tends to be spiritually stagnant. Faith is always sickly when it is not kept at work. And I believe that God put the laws of physics that it applies to everything. In one of the laws of physics, it says a body at rest will stay at rest until acted upon by another force. And if we're comfortable in our faith and we are stagnant, that we'll just be at rest. And that's why we need to practice our faith daily and go to God and ask that He strengthen us. Because when we're actively pursuing our faith, the greater blessings will come, I believe. I love the old saints' testimonies and stuff, and I have one here by Brother Henry Schaefer. It was a Dallas, Texas series that he was given, and many felt that Brother Henry was no stranger to them. In closing prayer that Sunday morning, the pastor announced a baptismal service for the Sunday evening service, but no candidates were on the rolls yet. Brother Schaefer stated, "More faith than I." Pastor said, "Well, there will be a baptism, but I do not know who." Lady asked Brother Schaefer to talk to him. She told Henry that the Lord made it known to him that he should be baptized today, and it must be done today. At dinner, Brother Henry told the pastor, said that not all there will be others. The telephone rang, the pastor answered, and talked for a while. Two more requests for baptism, but there is still one more. The telephone rang again. This time, a young lady wanted to speak to Brother Henry. "I know I'm a sinner," she said. "Do you think the Lord would forgive me?" Brother Schaefer reminded her that Christ had forgiven the woman taken in sin by telling her to go her way and sin no more. She then asked Brother Henry would baptize her today. So a total of four souls joined the body of Christ that afternoon. There will be times you will not know which is the right way to go or which is the best thing for you to do. In such times as these, the Lord bids you to pray to Him that you might receive wisdom and light and guidance you need. As you pray to Him and then move forward with faith, His Spirit shall bless you in the pathways that are right. Enter not into the temptations in the world that are not right, but go forward with a steady faith in the pathways of righteousness that you know to be true. As you do, the Lord shall be with you and bless you in all the things you desire to do in this life. If you pray to Him with faith and hope, your prayer shall be answered, oftentimes not immediately, but shall be answered in the ways that are best for you. There will be times of discouragement, but you can always go to God for the uplift you need. All of God's children from the time to time desire to draw nearer to Him in times of need. But those who draw near day by day with faith and hope receive the greater blessing. So we need to start the day every day with faith in the Lord that He might see you through. I know when we go on vacation, we always say a prayer that the Lord might look out after us for being in strange surroundings and stuff. Sometimes we don't know exactly what it is all around us. I remember one time we were in Boston, I guess it was, And we had parked and we were trying to go up to catch a shuttle, that sightseeing shuttle that would go around. And not knowing the area, I just parked in the first lot I seen and thought, well, we'll walk a couple blocks and then we'll go up there. And as we was walking, I was carrying one of the children and I think I had another one in my hand, and we was walking up, and I passed a place that this was about 10:30 in the morning, and I passed a place that there's a lot of men sitting out in front of this building. And I thought that was strange that they'd all just be sitting there, and then it was turned out to be a place where they give free meals out. So my oldest son, he was like 14 or 15 at the time, and he's wearing these real big baggy jeans and stuff, and he had his billfold in his back pocket and stuff. And I had expressed to him that, you know, that somebody could just come in and take that billfold right out of him, but he didn't believe that would happen, because he said, oh, I could feel him do that. And so we got up to the corner, and I turned around and looked, and coming down, there's a guy coming towards us, and he gave me a funny look, because I think we stood out, that he knew that we didn't belong in this area, especially with the kids and stuff like that. And then when I turned around at the stoplight, waiting for the light to turn, I turned around and he was just right up and back of my 14-year-old son. And I looked at him, and he looked back at me, and then a policeman showed up. So I looked at the policeman, and I looked back at him. And he looked at the policeman then, and then looked back at me. And then the policeman said, I shouldn't do this, but I know the light hasn't changed, but I'm going to cross this street. If any of you want to go with me, I think it's safe. So we all took off, and the guy that was in back of my son turned around and left. And I said, Corey, you still got your billfold? And he said, yeah. And he pulled it out and showed it to me. I said, okay. So I think that was a time that our faith in God that preserved us, because as we wanted to see the things in Boston there, that we had the faith that he would deliver us there. Another time that we were going and we were at going to see the Kirtland Temple, and this first part of May, and we got in there. Well, we're driving to the Kirtland Temple. We was going to try and get there the first thing in the morning and take the tour and stuff. And on the way there, across the radio, it said that this was the National Day of Prayer. And I thought, well, that was good. We didn't plan on that being a National Day of Prayer when we came to the Kirtland Temple, but that couldn't work out any better, you know. And we got there took the tour, and we could feel the Spirit of the Lord in there. And I know that we offered a prayer at the end, and we could feel the Spirit. I mean, we just didn't want to leave the sanctuary at that point and stuff. And there's another time, and I was praying that I'm more mechanical with my things, and I probably have given this before, but it's a testimony that every time I tell it, there's a burning in my bosom. And I asked that I would be able to see Zion. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and it seemed like it was like 6 months or something like that. And I was taken one night, and I was taken up to the steps of the auditorium. And I was placed there, and I looked out across the grass there, and there's just people walking around. I could hear the birds chirping, and there's a little bit of dew on the grass, and I could have the feeling that it was springtime, but that wasn't really revealed to me, but I believe it was springtime. And I looked out and seen people walking about, just looked like everyday people. And I said, Lord, this is not what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Zion. And the vision was taken from me for a moment, and I was put right back up there, and the vision opened again, and it said, He said that Zion will start in the hearts and the minds of the people. And I could see in the hearts, I could see in spiritual eyes that hearts were big, and they had the true Spirit of God there. They were walking around. And I felt ashamed because I was expecting to see big buildings and stuff. And I just thought, I thought up until that point that we'll just sit in our houses until Zion comes down and all the buildings appear, and then we'll go up to independence, you know. And that's not how it's going to be. It's going to start in our own hearts and the desires of our hearts and the faith that we do have here, that Zion will be. And I know that Zion will be. And I ask the Lord for forgiveness for not accepting the vision that I was given at first, and not giving him the opportunity to finish the vision out, that I jumped at him, snapped at him more than, and I felt ashamed, and I repented from that. And the next night I was taken back up to the Lord, up to the steps, and I was looking towards the courthouse that way. And before the day before, I wasn't looking that way. I was looking more west, and I could see temple after temple lying in the street going up towards the courthouse. And I thought, well, this is the different temples for the teaching of the priesthood. But I did not see the spiral temple up there, but I don't know if I was just overlooking that or what, but I seen the other temples, and to me they look like the Kirtland temples, not as big, but the Kirtland temples just lining the street going up that way. And they were white, and they were beyond comparison to anything else I've ever seen. But I know that Zion will be, and I know that when we first started coming here that we heard a lot of sermons on Zion, and that's what brought us here. Because I feel that we understand that we need this Zion in today's world, and I know that it will come like a whirlwind. But it will also start with us, each of us. So we need to have our faith that things may go forth, and that we might be a part of it. And I believe everybody here will have a part as long as your faith is strong. And it's just not up to one person. I think each of us has a part to play. And it's up to us to understand which part that is. Because we may think we know what our part is, but the Lord knows what our strength and our weaknesses are. And that there may be a time that it won't. There won't be any hesitation to what our strengths are and what He needs in bringing forth this wonderful city of Zion. So that is my prayer and testimony, that we all might keep our faith and bring forth in our lives, that we might know which is true and which is not, and that people around us may. I know there's people at work that'll come up to me and they'll tell me things in their lives that are so terrible, and I think, well, why are they telling me this? And I think it's because they see portion of the faith that I have, and that they might receive. Maybe they don't have the faith enough to know that God will answer their prayers on their own, but they reveal things to me that they probably wouldn't reveal just to anybody, because they're things that they've been carrying around and burdens. And if you have burdens too, that we need to lay them at the Lord's feet and give them to Him. It's sometimes like that, I know I'm giving testimonies here, but I love the testimonies because I think that the more testimonies that are out there, it makes you think that, well, if everybody's having these big testimonies, how come I'm not having them? And I think that we exercise our faith that God will give us our testimony also. But there was a time, this older lady, she had some type of affliction, and I don't remember what it was then, but she said, well, Lord, this is really too much for me to handle. And she was taken in a vision, in a dream, and she was carrying around her cross, and this her cross was her afflictions. And she was carrying around, and the Lord told her, he said, well, there's other crosses out here. You know, you test them out and see which one that you would feel more comfortable with. And she picked up one, and it was too light. She said, no, this is not right for me. And she picked up another, and it was too heavy. And she went on through the night, and at the end of the night, she picked up one, and she said, this one, I feel I can handle this one. And the Lord told her, said that, look at that cross. It's the same one you started off with tonight. So the Lord knows what we can handle and what we can bear. And some people have greater burdens on them, it seems like. And some people don't have as much, but each of us are given things that we can handle. And the faith in God. I know that the Lord don't give us nothing that we can't handle. So, thank you.